Birmingham Sports.
Hello and welcome to the Verulam Sport Podcast. Every week, the team behind the award-winning Radio Verulam Sports Show will provide you with the most relevant news from the local and regional sporting scenes, whilst keeping you in the picture with national and international bulletins from the world of sport. There will be topical debates, regular interviews from local talent, and chats with those big-name guests that are a mainstay of Verulam Sport. As always, this is your show, every bit as much as it is ours. So, check out Verulam Sport across social media and get involved. For now, prepare yourself for this week's action-packed Verulam Sport podcast. It's another local cricket special. The weather played merry hell with the fixtures last weekend. Don't you just love the English summer? But to build up to upcoming matches and to remind us about recent successes, we are joined on the line now by the captain of the Rolls-Royce of the Saracens Hertfordshire Premier Division, Radlett Cricket Club's Tom Jenkins. Tom, good evening. How are you?
Very well, thanks. Yeah, good. How are you?
Doing really, really well. Obviously, I'm mindful that it is challenging times for us all, but overall, no grumbles. So, yeah, can't complain. Yeah,
could be worse, couldn't it?
Always, always. That's the truth. Tom, lots to discuss. Appreciate your time. Just quickly, first time you and I have spoken, Radlett, of course, defending champions, historically known as the Rolls-Royce of that Saracens Hertfordshire Premier Division. So a real kind of force in the local cricketing scene. And you're the captain. I think it's your first season as captain. What an honour. Do you feel that honour when you were nominated as skipper this year?
Absolutely, of course, yeah. So obviously I've been at Radlett for probably, I think this is my 14th season now. Mm-hmm. And over that time, enjoyed quite a lot of success, actually. So it's been a great time. And obviously being asked to be captain for the year is, albeit a difficult start to the year, has been obviously a great privilege. And yeah, I really enjoy it so far. So long may it continue.
14 years, a bona fide veteran. And as you say, many, yeah, many successes in that time. Are you a batsman bowler or are you one of those multi-talented all-rounders?
I'm a batsman wicketkeeper, actually. Yeah. Nice. So I keep the gloves and yeah, bat somewhere in the middle order generally.
Tell you what then, the world of pressure on your shoulders. You've got the responsibility of keeping wicket and setting the fields, etc., etc. It's a highly challenging role that you've embraced.
Yeah, it's a tiring day. But obviously, being a wicketkeeper obviously is one of the best positions to be able to do it from. So, I wouldn't want to stop wicketkeeping, and the captaincy's been a really good fun part of it. So, long days, but yeah, really enjoyable.
Just real quickly, Tom, on this before we kind of build forwards. One of the things that I find amazing, it's one of my favourite qualities of the wonderful game of cricket, is just actually how critical the captain truly is. I think we're talking football and who's going to be England captain. And for my mind, they wear an armband and they shake the referee's hand and they toss the coin and jobs are good. And I know they're there to inspire. In rugby, you might have occasional to decide and do we go for the 3 points or whatever. But in all of sports, I don't think there's a more kind of real embodiment of the true nature of the word captain than in cricket. Just give us an idea of the kind of pressures of the tactics, the field setting and the whole nine yards that goes with that important role.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing is that every single person will have a different opinion on how you want to set fields, who should be bowling, when they should be bowling, and taking advantage of certain situations. But I think I've played a long enough time now. You have to trust your gut. You have to seek counsel from the guys around me. Fortunately, with Radlett, I have a lot of guys that have played a lot of good high-level cricket and are really good counsel for me in my first year. But you just have to trust your gut and go with it. Like I say, I'm fortunate. I've got a good bunch of lads who pretty much know what they're doing without me anyway. So my job's made a little bit easier.
Hey, I tell you what, humbly delivered there, but I appreciate all the nuances of your crucial role there. We were really excited last week for a mouth-watering contest in prospect against Welwyn Garden City. Radlett's remain unbeaten, played 5-1-3 with two no results. One of those no results, though, was that mouth-watering prospect, the home fixture against likewise high-flying Welwyn. Must have been disappointing that no real action could go, and this real close affair between two high-flying teams didn't really get to play out.
Yeah, obviously, we play cricket to be as competitive as possible and play against and with the best players you possibly can. And Welwyn do have a fantastically strong team, particularly this year. Mm-hmm. So Dan Blacktop's leading a really, really strong side. So it was unfortunate that we couldn't get the game on. The ground was looking fantastic, having just hosted a Middlesex game. So the ground was looking great, but obviously we can't control the weather. And as soon as it kind of becomes unsafe or there's any risk involved, mm-hmm. then particularly officials need to make sure that everyone, and it was the right thing to do in the end, I think. But yeah, obviously we want to keep playing as much as possible, particularly in COVID times. And it was a shame to miss that. Yeah.
Yeah, it would have been a big one, as you say. Safety is paramount. But for me, I've got to be honest with you, I'm just delighted that there is cricket. And obviously the foibles of English summers and the weather we can't do much about. But there must have been a time not so very many weeks ago where the prospect of you being on the pitch and providing that captaincy inspiration wasn't even viable.
Yeah, of course. And when the country gets dragged into lockdown and things are not particularly looking very bright on the prospects of playing cricket, then you kind of wonder if and when you're ever going to play. But we are extremely fortunate in terms of the fact that our sport is one of very few mm-hmm. amateur sports that are being allowed to play. Yes, there's some different rules and things like that, but to be honest, just getting to play is we are extremely lucky to be doing so. So you sort of count your blessings a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. We're delighted that is indeed the case. Moving on, essentially, right, remain unbeaten, currently third in the league, but with no losses, so say three wins and those two no results, 95 points. Potters Bar currently table topping. Sadly, no championship this week, but pride is always at stake. And you travel this weekend, weather permitting, to Hartford. Any kind of team updates? Have you been looking to shuffle the pack or just sticking really true to a strong team that you've got at the moment?
Yeah, no, we're pretty much at normal availability. So we've got a fairly strong side going out. And yeah, I'm looking forward to playing Hartford. It's a great ground to play at. I know quite a few of the lads quite well. And they're quite a sort of, you never quite know what you're going to come up against sometimes. So you have to be very careful when playing against these guys and really be on your A game.
Yeah, they're one of those teams, aren't they? They're sort of in mid-table. One win from their five fixtures, two losses, and for them, two no results also. But very Jekyll and Hyde, aren't they, Hartford? So it's sometimes, I guess, it means that from your perspective as, you know, the perennial champions or champions-elect, with the local pride at stake with all these fixtures, you can never be complacent, can you? And I suppose beating Radlett with your history, your pedigree, and again, known as the Rolls Royce of the league, must have almost a bullseye on the chest syndrome, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess a little bit. Everyone wants to beat, obviously, the top teams in the league. Probably the Potters Bar are in that position at the moment, having played all of their games. But yeah, as soon as you get complacent, you can find yourself 5 wickets down and in a losing position. So very quickly. So you have to do the hard work, do the practice in the week, and come out on a Saturday and first and foremost enjoy it, but play hard cricket and hope you come out on the best end of the result.
I'm sure that's looking strong for you, weather permitting, this weekend. Real great to have a quick chat with you tonight. I really value your time, and as I say, you know, always great to talk to the team there at Radlett. We admire the winning culture that's been there for many a season. Just very quickly before I let you go, though, just always like to get insight into the bigger picture of the game. And we were talking, obviously, rain ravaged the local cricket scene, but it also had its effect at the very highest level. I think only a day and a half's play possible in the second test, England versus Pakistan. And I know that there was an awful lot of criticisms about that. Thomas, you've identified safety is paramount in all sports, but Do you feel as though maybe some more urgency could have been applied? Maybe something could have been done to get that action enhanced, particularly given the thrilling nature of the first test and the momentum that cricket at that highest level is building now?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I find watching Pakistan play cricket enthralling. I find they play such a good brand of cricket and they're exciting to watch. And England as well at the moment being quite unpredictable. But I think where there's rain involved, you just have to go by the rules a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I think when they're playing at these grounds with floodlights and light at 2 o'clock in the afternoon becomes an issue, and they're trudging off the field, having a light meter quoted to them. I think the cost and the effort and everything that's gone into to getting these games in, I think that there probably could be something looked at. I mean, obviously, legislation has to change to allow that. But mm-hmm. I think the playing in poor light, especially when there's grounds with floodlights, there must be something that can be done to look at that. But obviously, the one thing you can't control is the weather. So, yeah, we can try and control the controllables, I guess.
Yeah, that is obviously the attitude of all successful people and sporting teams. Again, it's that process mentality. Control those controllables and let everything else evolve as it might. Final question then, really. I love your kind of assessment there of Pakistan. They really do have this dynamic style. But obviously, what a thrilling first test for England where, you know, Wokes... just really hung tough getting 84 and helped England to a great run chase, meaning that they actually won their first test in a series, I think, in 5 or 6. So credit to England there. Just quickly, your thoughts ahead of what we would hope is a weather permitting full 5-day epic for this final test series in which England are looking for their first victory over Pakistan in 10 years. Just your quick take or your thoughts ahead of the third and final test.
It's going to be fascinating, isn't it? I think the first and foremost interesting thing will be team selections. There's obviously talk of Jofra Archer and people coming back in for England and what a competitive environment that would be, him against some good batters. But I have to admit, I love watching the Pakistani guys bowl. I think this 17-year-old bowling 90 miles an hour is
crazy, isn't it?
Extraordinary. and it just makes for the whole, and they were very competitive, but do it with a smile on their face. And they obviously enjoy themselves, which is good to see, isn't it? It's what you'd like to watch on a Saturday in your own club games. So competitive, but fun.
It's a great mantra, and I'm sure that will be applied for Radlett throughout the rest of the season and into this away fixture at Hartford this very weekend. Tom, great to talk with you. Truly value your time. I'd like to take just a final moment to wish you and the whole team all the very best for this upcoming fixture and, of course, beyond. But thank you now for your time and spending a little bit of time discussing all matters cricket with me this evening. Thanks again. It's an honour and a privilege to welcome back friend of the show, the amazing Rupert Garrett from Harpenden Cricket Club. Welcome again, Rupert. How's those things? You keeping well?
Hi, Tony. Yes, I'm well, thank you. Yep, surviving. Thanks very much.
I think we all are. That's half the battle, but there we go. Unfortunately, nobody across the county, I think Potter's Bar might have got a game in, but nobody survived the foibles of the English summer and the weather accordingly. No action last weekend. Was there even the prospect of the game? I know it was quite a juicy one in prospect against Reed. Or was it simply a case of no joy at all?
Yeah, well, I think I'm not sure if it was called off on the night before. I think it was called off on the Saturday morning, but some games were called off on the Friday. You said it's typical English summer, you know, some weeks beautiful sunshine. Mm-hmm. And last weekend was the normally the bank holiday weekend, isn't it, when it rains? But anyway, last weekend it was the Saturday that was all washed out. So yeah, we'll never know what would have happened, but we have to move on, don't we? That happened with cricket.
Yes, indeed. And I guess we're accustomed to it now then. And at least there is action, weather permitting, this season, as we've discussed. Yes. Currently, as we say, again, no action last weekend, meaning that you're still bidding for that first victory. But again, just to remind everybody, if this is the first time that you are picking up our local cricket special, despite 3 losses for Harpenden, they've been against some of the high flyers, Radlett and a few others.
and always competitive. There is the need, though, isn't there now, to turn those close defeats into victories, as we discussed last week, Rupert?
Yes, I think, you know, these games, 40 overs, last sort of 5 or 6 hours. And I think sort of for 4 or 5 hours we're competitive, but it's the crucial hour either end of the innings when we tail away. So, yeah, we've got a young side that are still learning, but when you've got a young side, you need all 11 players to sort of be at their best. Forgive me if I'm coming up with cliches here, but it's very important. And that will be true this weekend again.
In context, it seems to me, from everything we've discussed up to now, that the bowlers are performing very manfully, doing the business. Just need the batsmen to work in partnership, build a higher total to give your on-form bowlers something to really work with.
Very true, Tony. I think in one-day cricket, there's an old saying, you've got to use your overs. And we haven't done that in a couple of the games. So even if you bat slowly, if you bat your overs psychologically, it implies that you've got enough time to stop the oppo getting the runs. So I think the batsmen have got to bat the full 40 overs, and then you say our bowlers are definitely competing with the stronger teams you've mentioned, the Raglets, the Potters Bowls, the Wellens. Our batting though has left a bit to be desired.
Let's see if that will pick up
this weekend.
Absolutely. Let's see if it does pick up this very weekend, weather permitting. And I promise I make a pledge not to sing this weekend. So there we go. So hopefully the game will be on. And it's an interesting one to the look of it. Away fixture at Hartford, who is sort of a bit Jekyll and Hyde-esque. Oh, sorry. It's a home fixture. I do beg your pardon. Against Hoddesdon. Again, a bit Jekyll and Hyde-esque, this Hoddesdon outfit. Two victories, two losses, one no result from their opening efforts. So again, a team that they're not necessarily a Radlert or a Potter's Bar, as you've said. So perhaps this very weekend is the time for the batsmen to step up to the plate.
Yes, very much. I think Hoddesdon, I think, came up last year. I think we beat them in one of the relegation playoff. You know, they were trying to go up from a lower league 2 years ago. And they've obviously been quite successful and won a lot of games in the last couple of years. I think they've got a settled side, and they'll obviously look at results and be confident of coming to Harpenden. But I think if Harpenden plays their ability and the batsmen get some runs, then yes, again, we've got to be confident our bowlers can do the business.
Definitely more than a few causes for optimism here, I feel. And I think it could well be quite a telling game. Sadly, in a way, no relegation, no championship of a stake. I guess, bottom line, we're all just delighted that there is local cricket, weather permitting, to discuss. Circling, though, as I like to do with yourself, Rupert, as a man who's very erudite in the nature of cricket. Last time we spoke, we were eulogising, weren't we, about England's efforts in that thrilling first test against Pakistan. And they were looking like they were in the driving seat in the second test, but not necessarily rain blighted, but bad light. Lots of controversy over this one. Not blaming the umpires. I think they're just doing what they have to do following protocol. But there is a sense, isn't there, particularly maybe more now than ever, with the competition for eyeballs, for the momentum that was built after that thrilling first test, the need to get cricket out there. Do you think we need now to address the protocols and find a way here in England where we know it's not necessarily going to be light and joyous all the summer long to get as much cricket out at the international arena?
Yes, couldn't agree more. I think, I think we've got to realise that this is the only test match being played in the world at the moment. I think the West Indian Caribbean Leagues just started, but the first two tests is the only cricket being played. And people who don't watch the game normally, imagine saying, well, the floodlights are on, but you're going off for bad light. Well, that just doesn't comprehend. And I think it's been in the press, and you'll have seen, Tony, that other sports can and do adapt. Golf, for example, they know, maybe more so in America, if there's a thunderstorm coming, they will bring the starter play earlier to start the game to avoid the thunderstorms. Well, okay, people over here say that you can't get an accurate weather forecast, well, you can find out if rain's coming and cloud, because I've seen some maps that show where the clouds are coming. So I think, yes, regulations have to change. Now, whether that's a pink ball or whether that's starting earlier, that's for the ICC. But you're also dead right, Tony. It's not the umpires. The umpires were obeying ICC regulations. The ICC have got to be more flexible. But I think, give both teams credit, I think you may have seen that the test starting tomorrow, they have got the flexibility to start at 10:30, which they didn't have last time, which does seem. But again, the test last week, I think, didn't they? One day they started at late at 12:00, and then at 1:00 they had lunch. Well, yeah. That's just mad. I mean, really, mad. It's just stupid. I mean,
it does almost beg a common sense, doesn't it? And as I say, you know, again, I'm not pouring any castigation on the umpires. They're following processes. They're doing their jobs, essentially. And we understand, obviously, that health and safety is paramount. But maybe just one tier below health and safety is the overall well-being of the game. And the shop window of the game is going to be this test arena. And I just think now it's really shone a light, sorry to use a bit of a pun there, on the fact that cricket has to adapt, to evolve in order to, you know, capture the momentum, like I say, from that thrilling first test. I just think, like you've addressed there, we need to be a little bit more commonsensical and really do more to ensure that the audiences can enjoy the thrilling nature of what is shaping up to be a wonderful test series here.
Yes. I mean, cricket gets labelled for being a slow-moving game, and some of that criticism is justified. I mean, it's only quite recently, Tony, that the players have been allowed to wear names on the back of their shirts playing test cricket, which is just ridiculous. I mean, some people didn't want that. And some people still think that the lunch should be 40 minutes and tea should be 20 minutes. Well, Michael Ball in his last test match said, well, hang on, if we started late, why not make lunch 20 minutes and tea 20 minutes so we can get a bit more cricket? And that's not, we're not talking about changing the wheel there. We're talking about maybe having a bit of common sense. And I agree that cricket, this is an important test match, because you said, Tony, because last week you got a lot of bad PR and, you mentioned eyeballs, and that's dead right. We know the football season's about, never seems to stop football, but it's starting again, and rugby's going to start again, and hopefully life's going to get back to normal. And yes, we can't rely totally on this 20-over cricket, Big Bash, and 100 next year. Test cricket is really important, and that's where the countries make a huge amount of money. And so, yes, let's hope that both this coming test match, that's a bit more common sense is shown within the regulations, and also that new fans come to the game and stick with the game, because there's not many sports being played at the moment. So why cricket should take this opportunity of showcasing the game in a great light, rather than maybe showing it's still stuck in the middle ages, whatever the phrase is.
Here, and I tell you, the thing is, I mean, that first test, and I can't wait to talk about the final one coming up this very weekend, where, again, fingers crossed, a little bit of common sense, a little bit of lessons have been learnt. But that first test was so thrilling. What a great run chase. We spoke about it before. Butler and Wokes, heroic, I would say. And it just showcased, and again, that was in a slightly curtailed fashion, the way that test cricket, when it's well played between two hotly fierce nations with equal kind of talent levels, it really is unique and so special. I will always, to my dying day, be a test match person. I respect the need and understand that cricket has evolved in the 2020 era, and, you know, that's necessary. But there's got to be a place for test matches. And I really believe that first one, just a few weeks ago, really did embody everything that is quality about test match cricket.
No, I agree, Tony. It was a fantastic test match. And I think we know up until, they said the game had lasted 4 days, and 3.5 days, Pakistan were totally on top. Well, it's pretty rare in most sports. If you're on top for that much, you're normally going to win the game, aren't you? Be it rugby, football, snooker or whatever. Cricket, though, you know, again, another cliche, takes 10 deliveries to get a side out.
Mm-hmm.
And flip side of that, well, when Pope was out, when I'm player with the livery, England still needed 170 runs. And you'd have got very good odds on the two batsmen coming in getting those runs. But they know, and they combined attack. They started off attacking. They put the Pakistanis off their line, and then the field went back. Maybe Pakistan were a bit defensive and put the field back too early, and then they batted very sensibly. And it was, yeah, you're right. It was one of England's great, great victories. And let's hope this third test match can be equally exciting. I agree with you. Pakistan are a very good side. But they do blow hot and cold.
They do.
I mean, they can be incredibly good and then have a couple of bad hours. And that's why I think England are probably a bit more, maybe not as flamboyant, but you know, England are a pretty hardworking, I'm not putting them down, but a very hardworking, steady, reliable, giving in a chance, and they will take it.
The character of this England team in all forms of the game right now is so strong, I think. They've got such an array of leaders and some unsung heroes. Wokes, for instance, who stood up. And Butler, as we spoke about last week, under so much pressure. And you just wouldn't have known that if you'd have witnessed that wonderful innings he and Wokes put on. The character of the team is supreme.
And of course, without Ben Stokes, probably the best player in the world at the moment.
Again, you and I have him on any World 11 right now, penciled in man number one, no doubt about that. So the final test, England bidding for their first victory over Pakistan for 10 years, a decade, gives us an idea of just how competitive this Pakistan outfit is and their wonderful passion for the game of cricket in all forms. Fingers crossed there's going to be no talk of bad light or rain affected, and it's just a plays out, quote unquote, in a normal fashion. With that assumption, it's a dangerous one. Rupert, what's your thoughts and feelings ahead of this crucial crunch final test?
I think a lot will depend on the toss again. I think tomorrow I think it's not going to be bright sunlight, is it? They reckon there'll be a bit of wind around.
Mm-hmm.
So I think whoever wins a toss will probably probably bowling. But then I think Pakistan got a very good... I think the Pakistan spinners are better than the England spinners. People may not agree with me on that, but Yasir Shah is a proven match winner.
Mm-hmm.
Don Best, very good bowler, but he hasn't won many games yet. Let's hope he can.
He's hardly bowled this summer.
No, I know. Well, exactly. Yes. But I think it'll be close either way. I think Pakistan have to go for it, and that will give England a chance to solidify, and I've got England to win. But I've been wrong before.
Tell you what, it makes fools of us all when we try to get our punditry hats on sometimes. All sport, but cricket maybe in particular. I'm looking forward to it. I think, again, to use a cliche you and I have used in the past, cricket will be, weather permitting, the big winner. And let's hope that then the memories of the slightly farcical qualities of that second test is then forgotten. Moving back though to Harpenden, again, a home fixture coming up against Hoddesdon. As we've said, there's so many reasons to be cheerful and optimistic here for the Harpenden team. In closing though, Rupert, your thoughts and what you're hoping to see from Harpenden this weekend?
Well, again, I hope that the players... Well, I'm going to hope that all the players enjoy themselves, which might be a rather odd thing to say, but I think you say to anyone playing cricket, and Harpenden are still a happy side. You know, they've lost games they've played so far, but I hope they enjoy themselves. And let's face it, we all know it's far more enjoyable when you win. So I hope it's a young side. I hope that the top four batsmen are a bit more experienced. Can get enough runs or bat for 20, 30 overs and play their ability, enjoy it and win.
Nice. And I'll tell you what, it's always a winning element of my life to enjoy time in your company, Rupert. As always, here at Verum Sport Podcasting, for myself and the team, wishing everybody at Harpenden all the best for this week's fixture, hosting Hoddesdon and, of course, beyond.